What's going on, guys? It's your boy Big Baby Steve. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Philly Talks. Guys, thank you again. I appreciate you guys. Every time you guys play that play button and you download an episode and you show support and love, I appreciate it. I thank you. It means a lot, you know what I'm saying? And because of that, I just want to say thank you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you guys know me. You know what I'm saying? I just want to say thank you for the ones that show support. You know what I'm saying? Also, on this episode, I met a guy named Jim. We had a great conversation. He put up a post and he tagged me in it saying that he's, you know, he has a Cheesesteak Adventures where he goes to these different places and he tries out these different cheesesteaks from these different places that are really good, that, you know, some people might not know about and then other people might already know about. So we decided to meet up at Donkey's Place. I've never heard of it. And it was in Camden, New Jersey. So we sat down and, you know, he ordered whatever. And then once we ordered, it was a little loud, but you could hear us. I was like, oh, hey, would you mind if I record this so people could know more about you and the Cheesesteak Adventures? And he was like, yeah. So, you know, without further ado, I hope you guys enjoy the episode. Jim's a pretty interesting guy. You know what I'm saying? He's a really, really interesting guy. I hope you guys enjoy the conversation. But let's get into it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to hold up any more of your time. Let's go. All right. I'm here with Jim. So, Jim, before we even get started with these delicious cheesesteaks, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Oh, absolutely. My name's Jim Pappas. I started the Philadelphia Cheesesteak Adventure June of 2 years ago. I say I ate my first official cheesesteak June 16th of 2018.
Really?
Yes, my first official. And yeah, I've been eating them ever since. I'm up to 690 different cheesesteaks.
Wow.
I eat them, review them, grade them, video them. I have a 100-point grading system, 5 categories, 20 points each. And yeah, it's been fun. Keep me out of trouble.
I can imagine. So before 2 years ago, you never ate a cheesesteak before? Or did you have like regular?
Oh, no. I ate them all the time. Grew up on cheesesteaks. We're from the area.
Okay. Are you here from Jersey or from Philly?
From Delaware County.
Okay, cool.
Delaware County. Raised our kids in central New Jersey. Okay. It's always been in the area.
Okay.
My dad grew up in Chester. He actually grew up with the original owners of Claymont Steaks. They're a North Wilmington institution. They were the gold standard back in the day.
Oh, nice.
We've always had cheesesteaks.
Oh, okay.
But I used to always have pizza steaks.
You know, pizza steaks.
Yeah, you know, people ask me about which kind I get for the steak. I get a little feedback sometimes a pushback sometimes on the cheesesteak I get. Because for the adventure, I always get fried onions, mushrooms, American cheese, lettuce and tomato.
Okay.
And I get the lettuce and tomato to try and show freshness of the ingredients. And so I get a lot of pushback. I used to get a lot of pushback about the lettuce and tomato. And I always told people, I'm like, look, before the adventure, I was a pizza steak guy. I said, I do it for the adventure. And that's also why I say my first official
cheesesteak was
in June.
I don't know why people give people so many flack for tomatoes and lettuce. When I first found out that you could put lettuce and tomatoes on a cheesesteak, I was like, you know what? This isn't that bad. You know what I'm saying? But I guess they call it a cheesesteak hoagie. That's what they...
Well, and then there's another gray area there, too. But yeah, less tomato, why give you grief? When you're at a barbecue and you get a burger,
right?
You put less tomato on it.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're doing something
crazy, right?
Exactly. But then the only problem too is if some people say a cheesesteak hoagie is lettuce, tomato, and mayonnaise.
Mm.
So you get into that whole
scenario,
argument.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is actually really good. I've never had a cheesesteak within a what would you call this? A bun? Of like Usually it's like the hoagie buns, but this is more like the croissant type buns. But it's good though.
Well, we're here at Donkey's. Donkey's place in Camden. And Donkey, I think 1943 is when he opened. He was a boxer in Camden. And this is what he served. On a Kaiser, a poppy seed roll.
Okay.
And so to stay true to Donkey.
Okay.
They still serve him this way. I'm pretty sure Rob back on the grills. I think he's third generation.
Wow.
But I always say, with my teeth, I can't eat the poppy seeds because I'll be spitting out poppy seeds for 4 months after this. But a friend of mine swears by the meat. He loves their meat.
Yeah.
I like the sauteed onion. It's more of a saute than a fry.
Mm-hmm.
And funny, looking at the grill, it's only sauteed because there's such a big pile of them on there.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a chance to get too grilly.
Definitely.
Perfect.
So how did you get into the whole cheesesteak adventure? What made you want to get into this bad boy?
So 4 years ago, I got separated from my wife. I had a 25-year corporate career. I did the corporate life. We had two daughters. They were both in college.
Okay.
And I wanted to do something different. I didn't want to go back to corporate life. I figured I want to use my life and business skills to do something different, fun, creative.
Right.
I was always interested in the internet. I always try to have the latest technology, even though I didn't have much time to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to do something different. And my wife didn't like that idea. So we separated.
Oh, no.
And it was all right, though. I was out and met my new best friend.
Mm.
We found out that we had cheesesteaks were the common threat.
Oh, wow.
The place that I mentioned, Claymont Steaks, where my dad grew up with the original owners, they were a great cheesesteak. That grill over there, the way Rob has his grill now, reminds me of Claymont, because Claymont's the same way.
Okay.
Just big pile of meat, just cooking, the onions right next to them, and they're just cranking out cheesesteaks.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's when we were good. When we were little and we behaved, we got to go to Claymont Steaks.
Oh, nice.
So we didn't get to go much.
Right.
But then, off to high school, it's a gold standard, so we always went. And my new best friend, she grew up around the corner. And her job, she had three older brothers. Her job every Saturday was to go get her brother's cheesesteaks.
Okay.
She still has the phone number for Claymont Steaks memorized.
Wow.
You know, not to date anybody, but a lot of years later,
right.
decades later. So we decided cheesesteaks. So we decided we'd start asking family and friends where their favorite cheesesteak places were.
Okay.
And then we were going to go try them. And then we'd go have the cheesesteak, and then we'd find something to do in that area.
Okay.
That's also the name, cheesesteak, Philadelphia Cheesesteak Adventure.
Right.
To get out of your comfort zone, go do something new.
Definitely.
And so I Uber and Lyft drive. So when I started asking my passengers, my riders, the passion.
It's something about people who especially, I would say everywhere else, but definitely Philly. The way they talk about it, it's like, don't go to this place, go to this place. I've had that place. You'd rather go to this place. And they're just so passionate, just telling you where to go. And they'd be like, trust me, try it with this. Don't take this. It's crazy.
Well, I learned early on when people knew I was on the adventure that if they asked me where my favorite place was, it was only, we're doing great. Thank you. It was only so they could tell me why I was wrong.
Right. That's what they love.
I actually think it's funny. I think that's going to be my question going forward to people.
Okay.
Would we rather eat a cheesesteak or argue about who's better?
I'm pretty sure a good percentage would be argue who's better. It would just be like, I know the spot, you gotta go to this spot. While everybody was like, no, I know the spot, you gotta go to this spot.
Exactly. That's true. They would say, no, I wanna eat a cheesesteak more, then they take one bite and start arguing. So
right.
It's like, yeah, you just proved my point.
Right.
So this is something you do with your... Are you solo doing this, the Cheesesteak Avengers? Or are you and your best friend doing it together?
No, I do most of them. I do 99% of them myself.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'm not driving every day.
Right,
you know,
right.
So it's, you know, driving full time. So when lunchtime comes around, I go and eat. Recently, well, the last 6 months or so, a friend of mine who's pretty flexible with his job, he's been going out with me on Tuesday. We try to go out on Tuesdays.
Okay.
He's affectionately known as Amigo Dan.
Amigo Dan?
Yeah, he has no social media, but he's starting to get a little bit of a following on mine.
Oh, nice.
About Amigo Dan, yes. He occasionally has a funny line to say. Keeps it interesting.
That's what's up. That's really cool. I definitely like that. I definitely like that you're going out, you know what I'm saying? Because usually people, would you recommend people doing creative things like what you're doing right now earlier in their lives or later on in their lives? Like if you had the chance to do this back way back when, would you?
That is an excellent question, because it's funny. You know, when I first got separated and was reconnecting with people, they're like, well, what do you like to do? I'm like, well, I like to do stuff. I'm up for doing stuff.
Right.
I'm like, well, what have you been doing? It's like, I've been a dad. You know, I spent 20 years being a dad.
Right.
You know, making sure my kids got into college. And I spent, you know, Saturdays on the soccer field and whatever event they had. So it's like, and we did plenty of stuff.
Right.
But it's like, you know, I was a dad for 20 years.
Yeah, when you're a dad, you really can't venture too far off.
Exactly. So yeah, it's you definitely, you don't want to do it the way I did it.
Okay.
You know, where I just, you know, walked away from my career or didn't go back to my career and just started doing something different. I wouldn't recommend doing it that way. But a side hustle, I guess everybody calls it now.
Yeah.
I guess that's the word I heard now, is side hustle.
Mm-hmm.
A side hustle, yes.
Yeah.
Because I think about it, you know, when I wasn't being a dad, I was drinking. I was in a bar.
Okay.
You know, with buddies after work.
Right.
You know, you go to happy hour.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely, side hustle, passion.
Yeah.
I think too many people are doing stuff that they don't want to do. They're doing stuff just to pay the bills.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I stayed in my career because my wife kept having kids. We only had two, but you know, when the second one came along, it's like, all right, any ideas of doing anything other than working and getting a raise are out the window. So, and it's funny because I talked to my younger daughter when she was getting high school age.
Okay.
I remember talking to her. I'm like, look, we need passion. We need passion projects.
Right.
You know. Yeah, for high school kids too, because they get caught up in the grind of their worlds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all get caught up in our worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we get caught up in our worlds, the smaller our worlds become.
Yeah.
So I definitely, and that's what I love about the invention. That's what I love about doing like what we're doing now, the eating the calendar. Because usually I don't go back to a place. Once I go, I review my grade A, do my piece.
And you move on.
And I move on to the next one. There's plenty more places to go. And it's been fun coming back to circling back to eating the calendar. And reconnecting, you know, I did a podcast last week with some people I'd done podcasts in the past with. So I haven't seen them for 6 months. I hadn't been to the place for a year and a half.
Right.
So it's nice to go back and kind of circle back.
Right.
And see what's going on. But definitely passion. Definitely, you know, you definitely have to stay focused on what you need to do in life.
Right.
Whatever that is to whoever that is. But yeah, that passion project.
Yeah.
Don't get caught up in the thing that you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know, my daughter was cool.
Right.
You know, she was getting stressed out about school and just getting focused on school and what's going on at school and what's happening on the bus. I hate school buses. It's like, look, we needed something to get your mind off of.
Right.
And I needed the same thing from work.
Mm.
You know, I need something else. I could and I did go to happy hour every day. I could have been doing something else, you know. So definitely a passion project to keep you interested, keep you learning.
Right.
The whole internet thing.
Mm-hmm.
Social media, you know, spreadsheets. This whole thing is new to me.
Right, right.
You know, but it's fun. It's interesting. It keeps me keeps my brain hopefully I'm fighting off dementia for a little bit longer, right. You know, instead of just wondering.
So you have two daughters?
Two daughters.
How old are they?
23 and 25.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Now, would you recommend people having daughters for themselves? Because me and my girlfriend have talked about it, having kids, and I said I would not mind one girl, but just give me at least two boys. You know what I'm saying? I know you don't have any sons, but would you say it's a little harder to raise girls, or do you think it's just the same for boys and girls?
I came from a very old school authoritarian father, Greek. My grandfather on my grandfather on my dad's side came over from Greece.
Okay.
And he was the king of the castle.
Right.
No one questioned him. Oldest son was the heir to the throne.
Okay.
Couldn't do anything wrong. Yeah, you know, just if I could get to my dad,
right,
he'd swoop in and fix everything.
Oh, right.
And you know, so do I think it'd be easier to? I think with any kids you raise, because I see these kids raising. I was a very involved parent, knowing, you know, just like. You got to be involved. I listened to, that's the episode of your podcast I listened to. Fathers need to be involved.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just the bottom line. I don't care what you have.
Mm-hmm.
Boys, girls, puppies, kittens.
Right.
It takes two people.
Mm-hmm.
I think with boys, I don't know. I think I would have worried less, but boys still get, stuff happens with
right,
boys.
Right.
You know, stuff happens to boys too, and you still gotta be on top of them, and you gotta make sure they're doing the right thing, especially, you know, it's funny because, yeah, I had a very, very, very authoritarian father that,
right.
You know, thought he ruled the world, and thought he did no wrong, and, you know, so, you know, I may have done some, I may not have been the nicest youth or teenager, you know, so, you know, knowing that, I was able to help my daughters try and navigate some things. Yeah, you know, we kept them busy. But either way, you just got to be involved.
Yeah.
And you got to be doing stuff with them. And you just got to be focused on them without losing your style.
Yeah.
You know, that was a problem also with my wife and I. You know, you have two kids. You play man-to-man defense.
Mm.
You know, one or three, you can play a zone.
Right.
You know, so we divided the house chores. She stayed home with the kids. She took care of the inside of the house. I worked outside the house. I took care of the yard and the big parts of the house.
Right.
And on Saturday we met at the soccer field. You know,
yes.
We didn't stay connected. You know, we lost ourselves.
Right.
You know, in our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But kids, you need both parents. I'm thinking your podcast was spot on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what you have, you gotta be involved.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna stress you out no matter. They're gonna drive you crazy no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But they're fun.
Yeah. You know, now, would you say with your the way you raised them with discipline, were you all softer with your daughters than you think? Because when I think of having a boy, I automatically think of I have a boy. I know for a fact I could be like, if he messes up, I could definitely be there like, hey, don't do that. You know what I'm saying? I could be the strong force. But I know for a fact myself, if I have a girl, it's going to be the opposite. I'm going to be like, please, I know you did something wrong. Please don't do that again. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then she does it again wrong. I'm not going to want to discipline her as much as I would if I had a boy. I don't, that's just how my, like.
No, they upset you enough that you can yell and scream at them just as much as you would a boy.
Yeah.
The only problem is with a girl, you know, only your wife can hit them. Spank them.
Right.
Spanking. You don't want to be called out in Walmart.
Right.
But, they definitely push your buttons and you definitely get just as mad and yell at them just as much as you would a boy.
Right.
But the other side of that is, I went to a federal academy.
Okay.
And so I view everything as a coaching and training coaching and training, being involved. I looked at the training we got at the academy and how they bring people from, because it's a small academy, Merchant Marine Academy up in Long Island, New York, Kings Point, New York.
Okay.
And we only had 250 people in our class, but at least two people from every state, all different backgrounds, and you're thrown into barracks together. And you got to learn how to, first they teach you everything about the academy. You get your plebe knowledge. You come in as a plebe. You get your plebe knowledge. So you learn all about the academy. Then you're put into a small room with a stranger. And every morning they're going to come check your sock drawer. They're going to check your bed to make sure you're in bed. They're going to make sure you're clean and shaved. And so I looked at that. I'm like, wow. I'm like, there's something to that.
Mm-hmm.
That they've been able to, all the academies do it. The West Point, the Minneapolis. I'm like, their training of how you get a group of people together, get them to work together first, and then they train the next group of kids.
Mm.
And through their methods, we're the only superpower left.
Mm.
So I'm like, there's something to that method.
Right.
And so I try to follow those guidelines, loosely, of course. I couldn't make a march.
Right.
But just saw the coaching and training that they need to learn. And it's funny, the plebe knowledge. Like my kids, because I had two daughters and I wanted them to be close to their mom. There's certain things that only she can explain to them that I can't. And they're, they're wedding dresses. They're going to go shop with their mom. They're not going to want me there. So my wife was close to her mom. So we fostered that. We spent a lot of time with my in-laws. So they know my wife's side of the family really well in that history. My side, they don't know very much about
it. Mm.
And that's one of the things in any service. You have to learn the history of it.
Right.
And I think that's a big, that is a big thing a lot of people miss, is that, you meet someone, you're like, hey, you're attractive, I'm attractive, and we're fun, let's go out and do stuff. How much do you know of the person? Mm-hmm. Where do they come from? What do you know? The Merchant Marine Academy, well, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, I could spout off every bit of information, so I felt really connected to it. So it was easy to get to the academy when I got on a ship.
Okay.
I think a lot of families miss that. I think that's the first thing you miss. And then the second is, you think the kids are going to be fine. They're resilient. They're going to be fine. But, man, you got to be on top of it. I mean, we're on top of our kids, and we still have stuff happening. Stuff's going to happen. You got to be on top of them so they know where to go to get help and who to talk to.
Right.
Which leads me to the next point. Now that they're 23 and 25, and I'm trying to tell them, I'm like, therapy's not bad.
Yeah.
Having someone to talk to. Because you think about coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Why do the New England Patriots win every year? Why do the Steelers win every year? Why are some organizations winning organizations?
Right.
Because they have good leadership. They have good coaching. They have someone on top saying, this is our structure.
Right.
This is the Patriot way.
Right.
This is the way the Steelers do business.
Mm-hmm.
So they know. And we miss that. We miss that structure. And then, so kids growing up have parents, have school teachers, have coaches. Well, now you graduate college, you graduate high school, you graduate whatever you graduate. Now all of a sudden, you're out in the world trying to figure all this stuff out by yourself.
Right.
And I'm telling my older one, it's not a dirty word.
Right.
Life's coming at you fast.
Yeah.
And if you need a third party that's only interested in helping you to be able to bounce things off.
Right.
There's no problem with that. I firmly believe that should be a high school course. Get rid of all the crap you've picked up.
Right.
My wife and I tried our best, had all the best intentions. But I know we put some messed up stuff in our kids' head. I know there's a few things that need to get retweaked a little bit. Exactly.
It's funny you bring that up, because I was actually a high school wrestling coach for right after I graduated high school. I went to Thomas Edison High School in Philly, and I came back. And the first 2 years, It wasn't really that good. I didn't understand why every year I was losing kids. Like, usually if you get a freshman, you expect the freshman to stay in that sport for the next 3 years until they're a senior. Now, it wasn't until later on I realized that all the and then also I have a really good friend. His name is Rick. And he was coaching the Central High School, which is a really good school in Philly, like one of the top one or two schools. And he never had that same problem I did, where he was losing his kids every year. Every year it seemed like I was starting new with different kids every year, and it was very frustrating. And I realized that a lot of these kids didn't have father figures in their homes. So I was like, wow, I just can't be a coach. Unfortunately, I have to be a father figure as well to them. And tell them, like, hey, this is a discipline. Like, you need discipline to come to practice every day, to go to school, make sure you're getting your homework done, make sure you go to these extra practices to get better. It was such a big thing that I'm like, wow.
Good, thank you.
Thank you.
That it was just like, you know what? I understand it now. And it changed my method for the next 4 or 5 years and how I integrated myself in these kids' lives. I just couldn't just be a coach. It was like, I got to be a coach and now, like, a father figure. You know, and it got to a point where, like, I wouldn't say it's creepy, but I was like maybe 19, 20, and there was this kid who was like a junior, and he was calling me like, oh, this is my dad. And I was like, I'm not your dad. But he's like, his dad wasn't around, so he's like, this is the only guy that, you know, picks me up from my practices, takes me to the tournaments, all this other stuff, that he's like, oh, this is my dad right here. And it's like, it was the weirdest thing ever. Like, no one's ever called me dad. So it's just like, okay, all right. So it was kind of cool, but at the same time, I realized, like, okay, this is from the, I only got it because I grew up in the same environment and place they did, where I kind of got it. While, you know, maybe the other coaches that were coming in were coming from somewhere else where they had both parents, and they just couldn't figure out, like, why is this kid not doing what they're supposed to be doing? So it's definitely, that's one of the things that, since I guess I coached high school wrestling for so long, that I was like, I'd rather just deal with the boys, because I just kind of haven't figured out how to deal with boys at this point, rather than dealing with the girls.
Nah, it's a whole different set of problems. My dad's twin brother went to West Point.
Mm.
So he graduated back in the 60s. His best friend won the Congressional Medal of Honor in Vietnam. And he came back. He was a career Army person.
Okay.
And two of his jobs, he was at West Point as the commandant and then also as the superintendent. And under his watch, they brought girls in. That's when they started accepting the girls.
Okay.
So, you know, two Army Rangers, you know, multiple tours in Vietnam. And, you know, my uncle asked me, he said, yo, what, you know, bringing girls to the academy, you know, what was that like? How was that? And the best friend said, it's the best thing that ever happened. He said, we had to rethink all of our training. We had to realize not everybody learns the same way.
Right.
You know, we already knew not everybody comes from a different, you know, not everybody comes from the same background. We already knew that. He said, but now we had to take it a step further and realize that not everybody learns the same way. Not everybody absorbs things the same way. Not everybody hears things the same way. He said, we had to rethink our whole training process, and it's only gotten better that they can reach out to everybody now.
That's good. That's what's up.
Oh, yeah. He came up with a... when he was there, he instituted a class that they still do that everybody has to take called Consideration of Others.
Oh, nice.
It's a freshman class where everybody's got to take it. Everybody's got to pass it. And, yeah, it's just about, hey, you know, before I do something or when I do something... I always need to consider the other person.
Right.
If I'm talking to them, thinking about them, doing what, no matter what it is, you got to think, well, how's, what are they doing?
Right.
I did a lot of public speaking in my career. And you got to know. If you're talking to 30 people, and no matter how I cleanse my speech or my lecture,
right,
no matter how vanilla I make it and how unappealing and how... neutral, simple, you try to make it. they're going to hear it 30 different ways.
Right.
And I still forget it. Yeah, I still forget that.
I don't blame you. So getting back to why we're here, how did you find about Donkey's Place here in Camden, New Jersey? Did you pass it by, or did one of your passengers tell you about it?
The dish is really good. Like, the steak is good. And I'm not really big on the chopping onions, but for this one, it's not that bad. You know, usually if I see the big chopped onions, I'm really like, nah, I'm good. But for this one, it's actually really not that bad. I don't know if they glazed it over, but it's really good. It's really good.
Now, Donkey's, place is famous.
Mm.
They, famous food author.
Okay.
He's since committed suicide. But he had a TV show on one of the Food Network or something.
Okay.
He came here, he reviewed them, and then there's a sitcom on Channel 6. And it's Philadelphia based from the 80s.
Okay.
And in one of the episodes, talking about cheesesteaks and how the debate in the house was who has the best cheesesteak. And the older kid said, well, the best Philadelphia cheesesteak's not even in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. It's in Donkey's. So they had a role in a Channel 6 ABC sitcom.
Oh,
so
nice. Running. Oh, wow. Cool.
That clip's all over Facebook.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's the Goldbergs is the name of the show. Goldbergs, Donkey's Place, and they showed the kid walking in. You know, they filmed here and everything.
Oh wow.
So yeah, now a lot of people. I got this from a lot of people.
Good. That's what's up. Wow. That's crazy.
It's one of those places. You know, and it's one of those places too. It's like the adventure.
Yeah.
It's a cheesesteak adventure. Go someplace out of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and find something to do. Go down the waterfront. The aquarium's amazing.
Oh, nice.
I haven't been to the aquarium in, God,
so long.
20 years.
Yeah, it's definitely good. I like the meat. I like they have really good portion of meat. Like it's definitely enough for, and the cheese and the onions definitely good.
Right, let's say that again. Let's repeat ourselves here. Let me we'll switch. We'll switch podcasts here.
Say no more. Give me 1 second. Before we do that, I'm going to end this one real quick. Can you let everybody know where they can find you at if they want to know more about not only the Cheesesteak Adventures, but where they can find your blogs and stuff like that?
Absolutely. The PhiladelphiaCheesesteakAdventure.com. That's my website.
Okay.
Facebook page. Everything's somehow related to Philadelphia Cheesesteak Adventure. Facebook page, Philadelphia Cheesesteak Adventure. YouTube, Philadelphia Cheesesteak Adventure.
Oh, nice.
Instagram and Twitter, I think, are just Cheesesteak Adventure.
Okay.
Excuse me. But on the website, it's funny because the website's the best place. I have the spreadsheet.
Okay.
I have the spreadsheet, my 100-point grading system for every place.
Oh, nice.
The easiest place to find that is on the website.
Okay.
Because it's a big spreadsheet and they're all there.
Philadelphia CheesesteakAdventures.com.
And that's for the thing. Now, if you want to find out a place I've been to, well, actually, you can get the spreadsheet and sort it if you know how to do that. But on YouTube, all my videos are titled Philadelphia Cheesesteak Adventure app.
Oh, okay.
So if you want to know if I came to Donkey's, Philadelphia Cheesesteak Adventure app at Donkey's Place.
Right. It'll be on YouTube.
Pop right up. I've done two best of lists.
Okay.
They're on all of them, but YouTube's probably the easiest way. I have a YouTube channel.
Okay.
Called Up the Cheesesteak Adventure.
That's good. It's easy to figure out. And it's something that people have always been interested in. Philadelphia Cheesesteaks has definitely been something that everybody's been interested in.
Oh, yeah. It comes up. Yeah. Absolutely.
Definitely. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We're going to enjoy our cheesesteak some more. Thanks again. We're out. Yeah.